Raptors, there's so many positive things to say about them naturally over this stretch. What is your biggest question, though, about this Raptors team headed towards the playoffs?
But they're peaking too soon. You know, one thing is, like, sometimes when you play this well before the All-Star break, you can kind of get comfortable. You can kind of think that you've arrived or that you've done what you need to do or believe that, you know, your chemistry is right where it needs to be. And I think sometimes, you know, you've seen teams that really do well, perform well in the second half of the season. They slump a bit and then stumble into the postseason. So my only concern is, like, if they haven't peaked already, you know, if there's not a ceiling for this group, you know, if they already reached their.
Does it change your opinion at all, though, that they've had so many guys in and out of the lineup that they haven't really been healthy for a long stretch, that maybe the normal rules of peaking early wouldn't apply?
Well, I mean, that could be the thing. You know, the fact that they've had so many guys in and out of the lineup, it sort of forced, you know, guys to step up and play hard, you know, and really embrace the opportunities that they get. But if everybody comes back healthy, then you start settling back into who you are and into what you are and in your level of comfort. And guys who may have performed at a high level in the absence of somebody else may regress because they're not getting the same opportunities, and that may create some frustration as well. So you can look at it both ways. But you asked the question, you know, if I have a concern, and that's really the only one I have. I've been thoroughly impressed by the fact that they've played so well. They have the second-best record in the Eastern Conference, and that they really exceeded the expectations even I have for them. I thought they would be, you know, a playoff team, a top-five team, you know, going into the season. But to see the way they performed, you know, and I tweeted a couple of days ago, the NBA should just go ahead and just hand Nick Nurse the Coach of the Year award at tip-off of the All-Star game because there's no way that this team is playing at this level with all the injuries they've had and without having Kawhi Leonard, other than just having some really sensational coaching and a defense that just seems to be smothering teams.
Yeah, they've done a really good job in terms of, obviously, Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster when it comes to player personnel and just player development and all those different things. But the basically the MO when Nick Nurse arrived in Toronto, and then even with Team Canada, right, Ben, was, hey, this is a guy who likes to experiment. This is a guy who likes to tinker.
Right.
And he'll throw out all kinds of different lineups, and he'll do all these different strange things on defense. And we've seen a lot of it, but it's a lot of it's been by necessity, essentially, because they have had these injuries. Do you just have kind of, again, when it comes to watching them get healthy, a point of curiosity when it comes to, like, actually how he's going to employ his team and his lineups?
Yeah, I do. But I think the one thing is like you stated, he's always been willing to tinker. And if something's not working, he's definitely going to try the next thing to see what will. And he's not going to be impatient with it. And he's not going to just, you know, just kind of keep riding it out, you know, hoping that there'll be some change. He's aggressive. And that's what I like about him. That's one reason why they won a championship last year, is that there was such an aggressive team and just how they approached everything. And I think that's why, you know, the players seem to respond to him, because he's willing to take chances. You know, I think a lot of times players get frustrated with their coach when, you know, they just get stuck in their ways, they get set in their rotations, they, you know, are always like, you know, this guy has to play, you know, at the 5-minute mark, or this guy has to play here, this guy has to be a starter, and this and that. But Nick Nurse has always been somebody who's willing to try whatever to be work. And I think when you do that and you have success, all you do is gain the trust of your players, and it seems like he has that right now.
Yeah, and finishing second in the East, so important, obviously, to avoid the Bucks until a potential Eastern Conference final showdown. Which one of those teams below the Raptors do you think presents the biggest challenge in a potential second-round matchup, the Celtics, the Heat, the Sixers, and the Pacers?
Depends on if they're – you talk about if they a team that gets third.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that you don't want is to see the Sixers slide to sixth. I think you want them in that fifth, that fourth or fifth spot, or, you know, definitely not in third either. I think that as much as they've really struggled this year, you know, and they haven't really come together as a team, they still have the most talent of any team in the league, in the Eastern Conference at least. I feel like if they find a way to get it together, they are the most dangerous team. It's just a matter of can they get it together, and so far they haven't been able to. And, you know, some those are the type of things that kind of stay with you all year. I remember last year I was one of the delusional people who thought that the Celtics were actually going to figure it out because they had so much talent. And we know that it's not enough. You need a lot more. And that's what's helped these other teams thrive, from Miami to Toronto, you know, all these teams to Boston. You know, the chemistry has just been so good that, you know, you've been able to compensate for any talent deficiencies.
Yeah, plus the Sixers have been just so incredibly good at home
that
you can't afford to drop a game against them when you're in your own gym.
They've been so bad on the road, though.
They have, but I'm with you, Michael. I think that that's
you know they're capable of playing good basketball by the way they play at home. It's just a matter of will they be able to do it, and that's why I said you asked who's the biggest threat. I always feel like Philly is because you see it. You see that they've defeated every good team in the league, especially in their building. And just once they get on the road, they become a lottery team, and that just it's one of the more inexplicable things I've ever seen. I've never seen a team that's been this good at home and that awful on the road.
No, if I was doing my power rankings of the teams I least would like the Raptors to see in the playoffs, obviously Bucks would be one, but the Sixers would be two with a bullet. And like, yeah, I think there's a pretty big gap in terms of how I would feel about the matchups after the Sixers. But it's the reason.
Yeah.
But the reason that we're talking about this though is because of that ceiling, right? Where the Sixers have all this talent, it's supposed to work out. This was a year where Embiid was supposed to get in better shape, that Simmons was supposed to be shooting the ball better, that their team chemistry was supposed to look good. They had Al Horford. That obviously has not worked out. But there's now starting to be this buzz. Like I saw Howard Beck of Bleacher Report and Brian Windhorst of ESPN both kind of having similar takes, essentially, that there's conversations now percolating around the league that this could be the end of the Embiid-Simmons pairing. If those two guys flame out of the playoffs this year, if they don't get past the second round, hell, even if they do and it doesn't work out and it's their Achilles heel in the third against the Bucks. Do you think this is it for those two guys? And if so, which one of them do you think moves?
Well, I mean, based on what the decision they made last summer, it appears they've already, you know, decided to build a team around Ben Simmons. The pieces that they currently have don't complement Joel Embiid. And I think that's been part of one of the frustrating things that he sort of experienced is that he's looking around. He's like, why do they have Al Horford here? Oh, this is a guy that's my backup, or he's also I'm supposed to play with him, and he's supposed to be there when I get load managed. And I feel like, you know, it's such a poor fit. But the reason why is because it didn't fit your best player. And all their signings, all the things they did in the offseason were basically to acquiesce to Ben Simmons. And so I think they've pretty much already made the choice. And that's what led to that little Twitter, Instagram spat you saw the other day with the fans. And also when Jimmy Butler's out there, you know, playing his mind games and everything, I think that there's something there, you know, because, you know, the way that the team is being structured, the way it's being built, I've rarely seen a situation where your best player that you don't build a team to complement his skill set, and that's what the Sixers have done. So I think the answer's already been made.
I don't you think that would be kind of the right one though?
No.
No?
because as I just said, your best player. Yeah. You want to build around your best player, and you know, as good as Ben Simmons is and how fun he can be when Joel Embiid's out, and you know, I don't know if he's a guy that is actually going to be able to, you know, have lead you to playoff success, because in a postseason, what are you going to have to do? You have to make a shot or be willing to take it. And he's not willing to do that right now. And maybe he will one day, but he's not there now. And I don't know when he will be. With Joel Embiid, the key with him has always been being in shape and finding the right motivation, you know, to play at the level that you expect him to. But I think the talent, you know, the way he just elevates the play of just about everybody around him when he's healthy and on the floor, I don't know. I would go with the guy who's pretty much got us here to this point.
The case for Simmons though would be that you trust more that he can develop the jump shot eventually, or that's something. Like if you just look at the way the Sixers have been without Embiid and how the floor spacers with Simmons attacking the rim has looked, that yeah, it's just a health thing, right? Embiid's gonna be 26 years old this year. And he's dealt with so many lower body injuries, and he does not have the greatest track record when it comes to keeping himself in shape, that you would probably think, listen, this is just coming down to a bet of who is going to have more longevity over the next three seasons. You would probably still bet on Ben Simmons. But if they did shop Joel Embiid, what do you think that the value would have to be in terms of what comes back to the Sixers?
You know, it's kind of a tough conversation because I don't know if they're actually even contemplating, you know, making such a move. But I will say that it would, if Paul George can get you, you know, six draft picks, if I'm trading him, I want something, you know, I want a lot in exchange for him, because he's a guy who, like I said, is capable of having some monster performances. And I think you know, you saw it last year in the playoffs. You know, he didn't come show up in all seven games, but the games that he did show up, he looked like the best player on the floor, mm-hmm. and that was with Kawhi Leonard on the court. I don't think there was a game last year in the second round where anyone thought that Ben Simmons was the best player on the floor. But you definitely could say that on at least two occasions in that series against Toronto, where you could say Joel Embiid is the best player on the floor, and that's even with Kawhi Leonard out there. So, and that's kind of where I stand with that. I still think they're both excellent players. I'm not knocking Ben in any way and saying that, you know, he's not the better player, because he is a really good player. And when he plays high energy, and now the way he plays defense now, the commitment he has on that under the floor, you know, I'm not one who knocks him for not having a three-point shot. I'm just somebody who wants to see the consistent energy, because I know that when he plays at a high level, they are pretty much unstoppable. But I know there are some nights that he doesn't always play at that level that is needed for the team to really thrive.